truth. My book is the verbatim. There are lots of experiences that someone in my job has, but you need to understand what a privilege it is to be here and what a privilege it has been for my wife and I to have the zechus of having a relationship with Rav and Mrs. Dr. It's truly a thrill to have the zechus to be introduced by him, and I assume I would have that same thrilled had I been a Rosh Yeshiva. In not Gush tradition, I don't have two things to say, and I won't speak for only a minute. But I also hope you know, Will, what a privilege it is for you to learn with the assortment of incredible Rabbin that you have, the life force that is Rabbi Ryan, and the kind of explosive celebration of life in all its forms that Rabbi Weber brings to your experience here. So it's a wonderful privilege for me to be here, and of course I'm here representing Yeshiva University, hoping that I can encourage you to continue to build on the incredible learning that you have developed here and the midos that you've developed here, by continuing to learn in Rosh Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elkanah and Yeshiva University, both to get something out of it and, frankly, to contribute to the ongoing evolution of the culture of Yahadus and Yahadus in the Dola and beyond that. So a few words I'd like to share. I thought a lot about what I wanted to share with you, so I want to tell you an apocryphal story to begin, because it's close to what I've been thinking about these days. There is a story, if you know the story, you can just say it along, it's like a song. There is an apocryphal story told of a terrible train accident that took place in upstate New York, when on one particular night, on a stretch of train track where there was only one track in rural New York or beyond rural New York, there was a road that was going across the track, and there wasn't a gate at that track, and one night a train came along, a car was coming up onto the crossing, the train struck the car, and the driver of the car was killed. The widow of the driver brought a lawsuit against the railroad company. I'm not a Rosh Yeshiva, I am a recovering lawyer, so I can tell lawyer stories. The widow brought a suit against the railroad company claiming that they were negligent in not having proper warning devices at the crossing. The case came to trial, and the prime witness for the railroad company was the watchman who was assigned to that crossing. And he was called up to the witness stand, was sworn in, and the lawyer for the railroad company said, "Would you please tell us in your own words what you remember happening on that fateful night?" So the watchman said, "Sure, I was in my guard tower. It was getting dark. I looked at the timetable. I saw that the train should be coming. I looked off in the distance, and I saw the headlights of the train coming. I looked down the road, and far in the distance, there were the headlights of a car approaching. So I took my lantern, and I went out of the guardhouse, and I went to the road, and I started waving my lantern to warn the car that the train was approaching. And, of course, the train continued to barrel along, coming close to the crossing, and I was waving my lantern back and forth, and to my increasing consternation, it appeared that the car was not slowing down. And now I was getting frantic, and I was waving my lantern back and forth and back and forth, and to my horror, the driver ignored me, went past me, went onto the tracks, was struck by the train, and was killed." Well, based on that testimony, the court found in favor of the railroad company and found that they had not been negligent. After the trial, the railroad executives and the lawyers all surrounded the watchman, and they congratulated him, and they pounded him on the back, and they said, "You were terrific, you were fabulous, you won the case for us." And with that, the watchman started to shake, and a tear started going down his cheek, and he turned to them and said, "Nervous? You say I wasn't nervous? I have to tell you that up on that witness stand, having taken an oath to God Almighty, I don't know what I would have answered had anyone asked me if my lantern was lit." Well, talk a lot at Yeshiva about Torah Umada, and this year I've tried to characterize Torah Umada in the term Shlemut, in the desire to learn Torah and to learn about the world in such a way that we try as individuals and as a people, and hopefully influencing the world, to attain a certain sense of completeness, of wholeness, of the parts fitting together. Certainly in the presence of the people in this room, I don't have to tell you about a life of Shlemut, because in so many ways you see it lived. But I can tell you that too many people in the world have a sense of waving empty lanterns. Too many people in the world go through the motions, and they're aware that they're going through the motions. Too many people in the world either can't ask the question or can't get an answer to the question of with what do I fuel my lantern and how do I make sure that it has some purpose. Too many in our community and outside of our community feel that they go through motions and there's nothing that comes from those motions. I think the good news is that your generation, perhaps more than the few that came before it, actually engage in that question, saying, I want my life to be something more than long. And that's a real challenge in terms of what we fuel, what light do we give off, what warmth do we give off, how do we get that light, what do we do with it? And that, of course, is why you're here. That's what you're doing. You're both building up fuel, the process of it, and you're asking questions. You're also at an age where you're beginning to ask questions of what matters and how do we do this. So we have the mitzvah, the first mitzvah given to Bnei Yisrael as Bnei Yisrael, to be Mavarech the Kodesh. And it comes at this point. And it comes at this point when Bnei Yisrael is going from Avdus L'Cheiris, when the individual is going from being an Eved to being a Ben Chorin, from being a slave to being a responsible free man. And here's the first mitzvah. And it seems to me, at least, very obvious as it is to the Mefarshim, that there's a purpose to this. And it has to do with how we use time. For a slave, time controls you. Time controls you. You have no opportunity to decide how you're going to spend your time. It's told to you. For a free person, you have the opportunity to control time. So with this mitzvah, we are being taught that now that we become free, it's up to us to take ownership of time. But it's more than that, because we're doing that to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. We're introduced to the notion that it's not just the Ribono Shel Olam that brings Kedusha to the world, that we're in a covenantal relationship now with the Ribono Shel Olam, where we are Kaviyachol partner in creating that partnership. So when we are Mevarech the Chodesh, we are Mekadesh the Chodesh, we get to imitate God. We do Imitat Yodeo. Day. The Ribono Shel Olam sets Shabbos and he makes a Kodesh every seventh day of Shabbos. When does Yantif come and who's it up to? It's up to us. Because we are Mekadesh the Chodesh. We count 15 days, and then we have Yantif. The lesson is, it is for us to take control of time, to take control of our lives, and to do it in a way through Torah that makes it noble, that makes it Kodesh. And in such a way, it can be a blessing. You do it through Rosh Chodesh, but the whole next 40 years was a proving ground for Bnei Israel after they received the Torah to say, how do you make it work? How do you not be a victim or simply a beneficiary of God's goodness? How do you go from having man to knowing that you can make bread with God? How do you know that it's your responsibility to build a land? Right? There was a 40-year proving ground that had to go through a generation. We face that without going through a generation. We do that without being in that particular midbar. How do we do that? How do you do that? Your journey is just beginning. There was an article in this month's Atlantic Monthly magazine that I found interesting because the title was called Pursuit of Happiness. And the subtitle said, there's more to life than being happy. And it focused on the work of Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl had gone through the Holocaust, had helped many people, had many different ideas, and and wrote a very important work called Man's Search for Meaning. In 1991, it was given every award in the United States as among the 10 most important books published. The emphasis of that work is on meaning and responsibility to something greater than self. And the statement in Atlantic Monthly is that that notion, a commitment to meaning and being devoted to something greater than self, seems to be at odds with contemporary society, where we often don't get past self. And this article reports that recent research has shown that having purpose and meaning in life increases overall being and life satisfaction, improves mental and physical health, enhances self-esteem, and decreases chances of depression. As opposed, they say, to the single-minded pursuit of happiness, which ironically leaves people less happy. And their theory is that the pursuit of happiness is basically the pursuit of self, and the pursuit of meaning is basically the pursuit of others. And through the pursuit of doing for others, right, there's a fulfillment for self that makes you happy in a different way. The difference between happiness, pursuit of, and we say in America that we believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but nobody talks about how that happens. I will tell you that you find that in our quote, sacred documents, but I'd also tell you that the framers of those documents lived in a different time where they didn't believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was the value system of a new young country. They thought it was the conditions necessary as to what a government should do to create an environment where the ethical religious structures that they thought would be parallel to government would provide answers to what does it mean to have life, what does it mean to have liberty, and what's the appropriate methodology for the pursuit of happiness. Somewhere along the line, that's atrophied, and we're left with a totem that people are trying to figure out what it means. This article suggests that it's time to get back to the notion of meaning. I must tell you, we have been somewhat insulated from that because our meaning is always in the Torah. By the same token, we don't live isolated lives. By the same token, you can be involved in Torah and in some ways learn the wrong lessons. You can think that the Torah is simply yours to drink in and that there's not a corresponding responsibility to do something with that. I don't know how you can read Sefer Bereishis and Sefer Shmos without knowing that there's an obligation. I know you can't be in this yeshiva without learning that. I know there's no reason for yeshiva university if that's not the way we need to live life. But that's what you often keep seeing. So I think you need to keep... Now comes the pitch. I think you need to keep growing in an environment of shlemut. I think you need to keep growing in an environment where you know more about the world through the lens of Torah, and you know more about your gift of responsibility to impact that world for yourself and your family, for Klal Yisrael, for the Frum community, and for the community beyond the Frum community that desperately needs us to serve as Shevet Levi for the Jewish people. That we don't seek to hide in the cloister and weather the storm. We don't want to go into the Teva as the Ribbono Shel Olam destroys all of civilization. We want to build a tent of Avram and Sarah. We want to keep doing that, reaching out to those to our right, to those to our left, to those up, to those down, and realize that that kind of meaning, that kind of being Mekadesh V'chol will give us both the kind of life that will give us happiness and will also give us the opportunity to fulfill our mandate to be Mamlechas Kohanim V'goy Kadosh. This is Gush. When I talk to you about continuing your education, that this is the launching pad. You know what I mean. When I talk about Yeshiva University being sui generis, that there is no other place. There are other wonderful universities, and there are other wonderful yeshivas. And I'm not talking about Torah Umada because I don't want you to think that I want you to come back to a dual curriculum place. I want you to come back to a Torah environment that embraces the world. I want you to have academics that are nonpareil, with faculty in a small student-faculty ratio environment where you're going to matter, where research is something that you get to do with faculty, where people know you and know your names, where the learning is from an array of Ramim who are stellar. By the way, also, 95% of them have bachelor's degrees and 60% have master's and 20% have PhDs. The one I know of, maybe there are two, but the one I know of who doesn't have a college degree is 103 years old. So Zayn Gesund Mishtak, Rabbi Gershon Yankelevich, who learned in Radin with the Chafetz Chaim, went with the mirror across Asia to Shanghai, and Kanein Hara comes in twice or three times a week and gives shir to a few Bachrim. So we forgive him that he has not yet gotten his bachelor's degree. But it's a yeshiva where, in fact, you have opportunities to learn in different ways from different people and to grow. It's also a yeshiva where you learn that there are different people who are learning in different ways, and they make up our people. And it's very important that you know that. It's also very important to know that you also have your dreams as to how you find your meaning. And if you're living in the world, you're going to want to make a living, but you're going to want to make the living that you make influence the life that you live, or the life that you live influence the living that you make. And yeshiva is a place where you will have opportunity to excel, to succeed, to have the careers that you want, to be in the finest professional environments or the finest workplaces, and to be an owner. I mean, from here I go to Kiryat Malachi, because as a part of our service learning programs, we have a couple of dozen students during a winter break running camps in Kiryat Malachi for adolescent immigrants. And our goal is to teach, our stated goal is to teach them English. The real goal is for them to meet Jews from other places in the world, to know that there are people who follow Torah, and to know that they own Torah. The other real goal is to give my students an opportunity to learn what meaning is about, to learn skill of dealing with people. That's the kind of education. Even our new NCAA golf team, right, clearly is established. It's very interesting. The only people in the golf team are students at Sims, because they know that to have a career in business, you have to do that. But the shleimut of the experience, the totality of the experience is yours. And you know what? I have a real important headline to write to you. We are not yet perfect. Right? And that's an invitation for you to come in and own it and make it better and work on it. It's your place, and that's the end of my pitch for you. I guess I want to end. I was reading, right? Something struck me, and I just wanted to share it with you. In Brachos, when at a certain point the Ribbono Shel Olam turns to Avram Avinu, and he said to Avram Avinu, and he says, "Lech lachutza, go outside and look up at the stars. Reyes hakochavim lisparotam, look up at the stars to count them." And then he says, "Ko yezarecha, thus shall be your seed." So the obvious question is, what does that mean? Thus shall be your seed. Are we going to be as numerous as the stars? Hasn't been yet. Not likely. So what does it mean? It's a different mafarshim answer in different ways. Some say, go outside, look up at the stars, see how brightly they shine. Others say, go outside during the day. Look up. You don't see anything, but you know that they're there. Kogi Yezarecha. Others say, look up at the sky. Look at the night sky. See the light. Realize the light is not from now. It's ancient light that's been traveling through to illumine you now. It goes from the past to the future. Kogi Yezarecha. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch says, Lech Lachutza means go out of your tent. Go out of any place that's the product of man or under the dominion of man, and look up at the stars and realize that the stars are under the protection and the control only of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ko Yezarecha. thus shall be your seed. One other explanation, and I hope someone can tell me where it's from because I can't find it, but I'm sure it's there. When I think about this, and Avram is told to look up at the stars, the question is asked, what does humanity do with the stars? What does humanity do with the stars? We navigate by the stars. Okay? We look up at the stars, we see the different stars, we learn the direction to go in, how to get to different places. We navigate by the stars. To me, it seems like pshat. God's looking to Avram and says, look at the stars. See how the world has to navigate by the stars. Ko yezarecha. You want to know what your children's role is going to be? You're going to be the navigation instrument for the world. You're going to show the world how to go. You're going to show the world how to live. The beauty of finding happiness through meaning is we get to live our lives. You guys are at the beginning. You are, please God. You know, I'm here with my best friend of 39 years. We have 6 kids. I'm a recovering lawyer. I've managed to be a I haven't been good at keeping a job, and I'm also a very good example to you that career planning only works so much because I've had a completely fortuitous life, right? I was an assistant district attorney. I went from assistant district attorney to being a law professor to being an associate dean, out of the blue to being the president of the Hillel Foundation for 15 years, and then the one job that I knew would never be mine, and I'm finishing up in June 10 years as president of Yeshiva University. When people applaud like that, I'm always worried when they think, thank God it's 10 years, that means you're done, right? So the bad news and the good news is it's 10 years, but I've agreed to another 5 years. So now you're not applauding, you know? But when I look at my life, thank God, more important, we have 6 wonderful children. 4 of them are married, so I have 4 more children. But one of them so far has given me 4 grandchildren, and my wife 4 grandchildren. It's been a wonderful journey. And I watch my kids have a life. I mean, you know, my most famous achievement of my son, my third son, is that, of course, he's a Maccabee, which is the most important thing we can say. And now he has a new group, Stand 4, which is very nice. And the truth, by the way, about the Maccabees, you talk about meaning. So you're a bunch of guys who wanted to sing. And they wanted to sing in harmony, not in cacophony. And they wanted to sing in a way that other people could hear them. And millions of people felt pride in being Jewish and began on their route in different ways. That's what I mean by meaning. You know, I have another son, and I am the first president, as has been pointed out 4,000 times in my life so far, who is not a Rav. I'm also the first president of Yeshiva University whose son is a Rav. Right? So my son is the Menahel of the high school, the Fuchs Mizrahi High School in Cleveland. And his daughter teaches, there's a Cleveland here? You left Cleveland? Did he teach you?
Yes.
Was he good? Like you could say no. And thank God, daughters who are in education, and my youngest who's in the honors program at Stern College chose to stay for 4th year, and she's a physics major, which means I have almost nothing to say to her. And please God, next year she'll be, I think, in Columbia in a master's program in mechanical engineering, so I most assuredly will have nothing to say to her. My point is, life is a delicious and special journey. And if you have the zechus to be guided by Torah, and if you look to celebrate every day in the right way, it's a great adventure. It's my prayer that your years here are as fulfilling as they possibly can be, and you understand the zechus of your being able to be here. And please God, I should have the pleasure of working for you next year. Thank you very much. Thank you.